verse was that? I just lost it. Verse 33, he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. What have you brought with you today? Worry, doubt, concerns, praise, joy? No matter what you are carrying with you today, you can lay it down at the feet of Jesus. We sang about the power and the blood. We sang about the victory in Jesus. And in Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now you belong to Christ Jesus, and though you were once far away from God, now you have been brought very near to him because of what Jesus Christ has done for you with his blood. Come to the cross of forgiveness, redemption, freedom, and love. Please stand as you are able and sing with us, "The Cross Has the Final Word."
Thank you. Let's pray. What a thought-provoking song, O God. The cross. The final word. The reality of salvation. Lord, I pray in this time of teaching that your Spirit would be upon us all, that you would use the words that come forth for your glory and for the peace of your people. Amen. I was blessed to attend a pastor's conference Thursday evening and all day Friday. It was called the Clear Truth Conference. It was held at the Redemption Church in Monclova, so not too far away that I couldn't drive back and forth. But in that time, I listened to 6 one-hour sermons, meditations, presentations. So 2 on Thursday night, 2 Friday morning, 2 Friday afternoon. There was also some question and answer panels amongst the people that gave their presentations. It was a conference of deep teaching, of prayerful conviction, with a mix of high energy, of people speaking all across the stage, and some will just stand still and share a little bit more low-key, but it was all biblically-based preaching. I took 14 pages of notes, and I'm trying to interpret my writing because it was dark in the auditorium and I couldn't see real well, but I don't write that well to begin with. So those 14 notes I'm looking to get down and make sense of to help us as a church. It was a time of biblical truth in what they would say, and many might agree, it was a time of biblical truth in a confused culture, but a culture that is also curious. Curiosity. Interest, inquisitiveness, curiosity. It was shared with me that there was a sign that was once posted in a company based in England. And that sign read, "We have been established for over 100 years and have been pleasing our displeasing customers ever since. We have made money and lost money. We have suffered the effects of coal nationalization, coal rationing, government control, and bad payers. We have been cussed and discussed, messed about, lied to, held up, robbed, and swindled. The only reason we stay in business is to see what happens next." A sense of curiosity. Curiosity with an aspect of hoping for something better. In our reading from John chapter 12, we come across some Greeks that were curious. Evidently, they had heard something about Jesus. Maybe they had witnessed Jesus in action with some of his parables or one of his miracles, but they were curious. And the Greeks came to worship at the feast. Now, this is happening after the triumphal entry. So we are in the final week of Jesus in his ministry on earth, and the feast is the feast of the Passover, which would be celebrated after sundown on Thursday as part of their preparation for the Sabbath in the festival or the feast of Passover. And these Greeks were coming to worship at the feast in the city of Jerusalem. Now, we don't know much about these Greeks, but scholars believe that they could have been Greeks who had converted to Judaism, and they were coming to truly celebrate the feast. They could have been God-fearing Greeks, people that had come to know God through their Jewish neighbors, but not yet converted to Judaism, and they were there. Or they could have just been Greeks that had some knowledge, some curiosity, and they came to worship God. And as they arrive at the city, Those curious Greeks, they go up to Philip. And Philip has a Greek name. So maybe they felt comfortable going to Philip. And Philip went to Andrew. And then Philip and Andrew went to Jesus. Now, would have been nice if Jesus had then sat and talked with the Greeks, but he didn't. Because Jesus began to talk to all of them. Whatever the Greeks were curious about, they shared with Philip, Philip to Andrew, Philip and Andrew to Jesus. He knew, and that sets up what Jesus offers in John chapter 12 of what Brad read for us. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus had been working toward that hour his entire life. Even before his earthly life, he had been working toward this hour. And it had finally come. If you look at the sermon outline in the bulletin, you will see that I've listed off several verses where Jesus says, "My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come." But now, with these curious Greeks, the time has come. That time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus is the world's Savior. He came to save the Jews. He came to save the Gentiles. He came to save all nations, as represented by the Greeks in this passage. The final sacrifice, the final word was about to happen. It was at hand to be glorified. Not glorified in the eyes of humans. That had happened at the triumphal entry when the crowd misunderstood who the king really was. Jesus was pointing to being glorified on the cross. And that glory was for the world. Because the world, they looked at that cross as an instrument of guilt and judgment and shame. To Jesus, the cross was known as the way to glory. The way to glory. So with that background in mind, I want to look at these verses from this passage and begin with, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I thought we were getting closer to the time of planting, but with that snow swirling out this morning, kind of got concerned. But we're a month, month and a half, 2 months away from planting seeds in the fields or in our gardens. And Jesus knows that a seed will never become a plant unless it dies and is buried. The death and the burial of Jesus was necessary for his glorification. Before there could be the resurrection, there had to be death. And that's what Jesus is speaking about in that verse. It's a curious world, but it's also a confusing world. And Jesus offers some more confusion to what's happening. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Why would Jesus want us to hate our life in this world? So it can be confusing, but anytime there's confusion, we have to sit with that passage. We have to learn more about it. And it's not really about hating our life, but rather we are freely and willingly giving up our life for God. That's what Jesus was doing. Willingly, He was giving up his life to God on the cross. While life lived in this world, and we enjoy living in this world, as a Christian, it's not our permanent home. We're just traveling through. We are pilgrims along the journey. Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16 speaks of this. Hebrews 11 begins with, by faith, all of the patriarchs, they lived by faith. And then in 13 it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, in verse 16, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God has prepared a city, a heavenly one, the eternal city, for his people. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. Whoever serves me must follow me. We were saying about that, and there is power in the blood. I know you sang a different version than 191, but that's where I went for the words. When you do service for Jesus, would you do service for Jesus, your King? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily, his praises sing? The service to Christ is to be daily. And that's what separates Christians from other people. We are set apart. To be a Christian is to serve Jesus. To be a Christian is to follow Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus. We work, we care for family, we go to school. All those activities of life give us an opportunity to serve Jesus. It's all a part of serving Jesus, to follow, to place God first in our lives in all things. Now, we're not saved by service, but we are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. And Jesus told his disciples, we can think about those 12, he told them to follow him. And they were willing to follow, but only Jesus had to go to the cross. But Jesus invited his disciples to go to the cross with him. As disciples, we are to bear our own cross following Jesus. Skipping a couple of verses, now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. We're in the Gospel of John. This gospel does not have an account of the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prayed three times, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. But here we have this time of Jesus contemplating the cross. Now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came. He's troubled. Jesus knows the agony, the pain of death on the cross, and he's troubled about that. But he knows it's for this hour that it came. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it, and they thought it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. there is confusion again. They're all there. They all heard the sound. Some thought it was thunder, and some thought it was an angel. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The desire was to glorify God. The cross was a very intense event. It was a very intense final word. And there was confusion. There was misunderstanding back then and still today. It was the third time that God's voice spoke to Jesus. The voice had come at the baptism, the voice had come at the transfiguration, and the voice now had come in just the days before the cross. In the confusion that was there, Jesus says, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. There is a lot in that one verse. There is judgment. The cross is about judgment. The culture is in opposition to Jesus. And Jesus says the cross will draw all to him. There is judgment. There is Satan. Jesus recognizes Satan, the prince of this world. And yet, the prince of this world will be driven out. Now, Satan, the devil, is a reality in this world. But as we come to Christ, as we put our faith and trust in Christ, Christ casts out Satan. Satan will have no authority over a believer because Christ has cast him out of our life. Whenever somebody comes to me and talks about Satan and what Satan has done, I remind them that Satan is a fallen angel. And Satan can be powerful, but God is always more powerful than Satan. So if you feel attacked by Satan in your life, draw ever closer to God because Christ has cast out all authority of Satan over his disciples. The cross, it's a magnet. It's a powerful magnet. It's a magnet for all. No matter our sin, Christ is pulling us all to the cross. And then the crowd spoke up. "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" They were still confused. They were curious. They were there, but they were confused. The Son of Man stood in front of them, but they did not recognize. And they came up with one more argument. "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can the Son of Man be crucified? He'd be gone." They were aware of passages of Scripture. Isaiah 9:7, Ezekiel 37:25, Daniel 7:14, where it speaks that the Messiah, the Savior, will be here and reign forever. The government will be on his shoulders. But they were forgetting Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, the song of the suffering servant. A song about all that Jesus Christ would endure leading up to and upon the cross. And that he died on the cross and he was buried in the grave. But the rain continued through the Holy Spirit of God, and there was the resurrection. Jesus was lifted up on the cross, and he was lifted up in the resurrection for our salvation. And then Jesus closes. He told them, "You are staying to have, you are to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light, people of light." The light of the earthly ministry of Jesus was about to end. We are blessed to have a risen Savior after the resurrection, that he continues to be the light of the world. And we are called to live in that light and to stay away from the darkness, to live in the light. And then that final verse of this passage, when he had finished speaking, Jesus left them and hid himself from them. He hid. He'd offered enough. They had much to think about, and so do we. He hid, maybe to spend that time in prayer, strengthening himself for the cross. But he left them to return, and he promises us that he will be with us always to the end of the earth. So may his light be in your heart this day and always. Amen.
Jesus said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Therefore, let us share a portion of our blessings to help further the work of the church." I invite the ushers forward to receive our morning offerings. pray. Generous God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, we present to you this money, a symbol of the work you have given us to do. Use it and use us in the service of your world to the glory of your name. Amen.
Wow, what a Sunday. May you think on the cross this week, hungering and thirsting for more of Jesus and what he has endured for us. The cross, the world sees it as guilt, humility, judgment, and shame. Christians see it as redemption, freedom, and grace. And to Jesus, it was to glorify God. We are to follow Jesus. How are we going to glorify God this coming week? Our closing song is Stir Up a Hunger, and following the spoken benediction, we will sing the first two verses of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Soul, and the hungry he fills with good things.
Through all temptations, keep communion with God. Through deeds of love, keep fellowship with one another. At all times and all ways, keep the faith. Be the light and share the light. Praise be to God. Amen.